Public Radio KMXT is supported by a grant from North Pacific Fuel, serving and continuing the tradition of excellent service to the community at three locations: Marine Dock at 715 Shelikoff Street, Gas & Go at the Y, and Gas & Go at Mill Bay.
It's nearly 12 o'clock, and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT. Broadcasting on 100.1 FM, we are your public radio station here in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where we have overcast skies, 40 degrees, northwest winds to 13 out at the airport right now, where they are also registering 93% humidity and 10 miles of visibility. The Weather Service is calling for a 50-50 chance of being rained on if you go outside today, 40% chance tonight. Look for west winds to 15, coming up to 20 tonight, 20% chance of snow tomorrow morning. Then those skies will gradually become sunny tomorrow with a high near 34. Coming up on the Midday Report, stormy conditions in the lower 48 have disrupted holiday travel for many Alaskans. And getting rid of racist place names around the country.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Amy Held. Some four dozen people are dead in the U.S. from a massive winter storm, rare in scope, that sent temperatures plunging and snow piling. The Arctic air is slowly making its way out, but Buffalo, New York is still in survival mode. Another foot of snow is forecast there. The storm has so far left at least 25 people dead in Erie County. The power is out for thousands. From member station WAMC, Ian Pickus reports, the region has come to a standstill.
A driving ban remains in effect in western New York, with even more snow in the forecast through Tuesday. Governor Kathy Hochul says the thruway will remain closed in the region until further notice.
We still have scores and scores of vehicles that were abandoned when people left during the storm or just in a ditch. They can't possibly get out. We have had snowplows, major snowplows, and rescue vehicles. I saw them myself in ditches buried in snow.
With a statewide state of emergency still in effect, first responders are also grappling with several feet of snow and frigid temperatures in the Watertown area in northern New York. For NPR News, I'm Ian Pickus in Albany.
The bad weather is also broadly disrupting flights. The FlightAware website reports roughly 9,000 delays and cancellations so far today. Anna Kang is trying to get to San Diego, but has been making the rounds at Chicago's airports.
Two flights got canceled. We waited in line for about an hour and a half to book another flight at the other airport, so I went from O'Hare to Midway.
Her Midway flight, that was grounded too. Southwest says more than half of its flights have been canceled today. Russia says three of its servicemen died from a Ukrainian drone attack on its military base. NPR's Charles Maines reports.
Russia's defense ministry said the attack was carried out by a low-flying Ukrainian drone on the Engels Air Base, more than 300 miles northeast of Ukraine's border. The ministry said its air defense systems had successfully downed the drone, but falling debris had fatally wounded several technicians working on the base. The region's local governor said the incident posed no threat to civilians in a nearby town. Earlier this month, Russia accused Ukraine of a similar attack on the airfield, which has been home to long-range strategic bombers that have carried out missile strikes on Ukrainian infrastructure. The Ukrainian military has neither confirmed nor denied involvement in either incident, but called a series of recent explosions inside Russia karma for the Kremlin's actions in Ukraine. Charles Maines, NPR News, Moscow.
As it moves away from its zero-COVID policy, China is taking a big step toward reopening to the rest of the world. Starting January 8th, they will drop a COVID quarantine requirement for incoming international travelers and will start reissuing some visas. Beijing also says it will no longer publish daily infection numbers. At the same time, COVID outbreaks are overwhelming Chinese hospitals. This is NPR News.
NPR News es presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor llama al 907-481-2400.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. Stormy conditions in the lower 48 have already disrupted holiday travel plans for many Alaskans, and the snowstorms are just starting in southeast Alaska. Alaska Airlines preemptively canceled more than 550 flights on Friday due to icy conditions across the Pacific Northwest. Seattle-Tacoma International Airport closed three runways Friday morning, causing delays and closures all day long. All flights on Friday to and from Portland were canceled as well, and several early flights from Anchorage were canceled due to wind. For people trying to rebook, Alaska Airlines says availability is limited and demand is high, and they're encouraging holiday travelers to reassess their travel plans for the weekend ahead. Travel disruptions were mostly caused by weather outside the region, but that could change as winter storms bear down on Juneau this weekend.
It's definitely going to be shaky at best. We are expecting a ton of snow, and I would say there would probably be delays. I wouldn't necessarily say cancellations, though.
Andreas Delgado works at the Juneau Airport. He says staff will be working hard to keep runways clear for takeoff.
We're going to probably see heavy snow start developing overnight tonight with the first band, and then we'll see a little lull tomorrow morning with another band coming through to drop another significant amount of snow tomorrow afternoon.
That's Aaron Jacobs with the National Weather Service. Jacobs says 10 to 15 inches of snow is possible in Juneau. The National Weather Service has issued a winter storm warning through 9 p.m. Temperatures are expected to rise steadily through the weekend and into next week. In Juneau, temperatures will be stay below freezing until early this week. Jacobs says it may be wetter for those south of Juneau.
Potentially for those folks down in the southern panhandle, because they're going to see some the snow turn to more of a mix or a rain through tomorrow morning.
Holiday travelers should consult airline travel advisories before heading to the airport. From the smallest of creeks to monstrous cliffs, you'll find names of places with histories that are racist, sexist, and dehumanizing. But a nationwide movement to heal some of these wounds is gaining momentum. As KNBA's Hannah Bissett reports, a new federal advisory committee is part of those efforts.
Whether it be statues with indigenous names or creating committees to comb through place names, there have been many moves this year to get rid of derogatory language. Last month, the Department of Interior announced successful efforts to remove a racial slur used against indigenous people from almost 650 geographic features. And the committee's work isn't over. On December 7th and 8th, the Advisory Committee of Reconciliation and Place Names met for the first time. Secretary Deb Holland hopes the committee will accelerate a critical process in derogatory place names.
From the very beginning, the Biden-Harris administration has worked to tackle racial injustice and inequity. And that's why 1 year ago, I issued the secretary's order that created this advisory committee to help us ensure that America's public lands are welcoming to everyone.
In this meeting, they discuss what the term derogatory means, creating subcommittees, and detailing future plans. On the topic of the term derogatory, Federico Mosqueda, coordinator of the Afro-Ho Language and Culture Program, said the following.
We as a committee, we need to challenge this definition. You know, with some of the names that are coming up, and I think that's what we need to do is we just need to take the names that we consider derogatory to us, challenge that name using their definition.
He says this is important to push the point home by using experience and emotion to express the inappropriate nature of these place names and their hurtful histories. The proposed subcommittees were the following: the federal land unit names, the geographic feature names, and the processes and principles subcommittee. Howard Dale Valandra, member of the committee and who works with the Tribal Land Enterprise Board of Directors, said the following.
This is not a pickup game where everybody's standing on the side and we say, hey, you come play on our team. This is, I want to be on that team and I'm going to go over there and play.
Valandra says that the subcommittee needs to decide if the three subcommittees are what is needed. and to think about who should be on these subcommittees. There was discussion on bringing on people who did not make it onto the committee to be a part of these subcommittees. Some of the committee members also expressed interest in being a part of these subcommittees. The subcommittee's main job would be to gauge community voices.
I already have in hand a list of all Department of Interior and Forest Service land units, at least in the federal land unit named subcommittee. There is a list almost ready to go to provide that subcommittee.
That was Joshua Winchell, staff director of the National Park System Advisory Board. Winchell says that the subcommittees will create board recommendations for the committee to decide on. Winchell says the subcommittees will create board recommendations for the committee to decide on. Winchell says it's important to have these subcommittees because they deal with different methods.
For instance, we renamed a state park, Sumeg, Yurok name, last year, and that even after the Park and Recreation Commission acted on that, it had to go to the federal government.
The general public will be able to provide input and engage with the community's discussion by making written comments and attending virtual meetings. And for KMBA News, I'm Hannah Bissett.
In many indigenous stories in Alaska, Raven is a clever and enterprising character. That's also the case in Thlinkit storytelling. Wrangell students recently brought a story of Raven's antics to life with Shadowbox Theater performances. KSTK's Sage Smiley reports.
Thlinkit stories tell of how Yesh, Raven, brought light to the world and helped ensure the tides rise and fall each day. One story of Raven and King Salmon also tells of Raven's trickery and gives some explanations for the markings and migratory patterns of birds in the region. The story is told by Catherine Mills and transcribed by Nora Marks Danhauer and Richard Danhauer. This fall, it was featured in a celebration at Wrangell High School. After the local dance troupe sang and danced the Wrangell Coming In song, the lights went out except for a large white sheet lit from behind. Beginning Thlinkit students held cutout birds and fish shapes on strings to act out the story. Clara Waddington narrated.
Raven is going along the beach. While he was going along the beach, he saw the king salmon. It was jumping out there in the bay. He was thinking about it then. What can I do to that king salmon to trick him into coming ashore?
As the story goes, Raven tricks King Salmon into swimming onto the beach and clubs the salmon in the head. He has the other birds, his grandchildren, help him move the salmon to a pit for baking, but tells them they have to go gather skunk cabbage from far away to line the pit. Then he eats the salmon all by himself and hides the evidence under a tree stump with only the salmon's tail sticking out. He tells the other birds the stump rolled onto the salmon and squished it.
When they are wiping the white around their eyes, it turns black. But Robin sat close to the fire and scorched her belly, and it's the color of fire. But Magpie is trying to fly away, and Raven holds her back, and he says to Magpie, while there are still salmon in the creeks, don't fly down here. Only when there are no more salmon in the creek, that's when you fly down to the coast.
The class held the Shadow Box Storytelling in honor of Native American Heritage Month, which takes place in November. Local representatives from the tribal government, Alaska Native Brotherhood and Sisterhood, Thlinkit and Haida, and community members came out in support. Tsutskhan Winston Davies introduced the play. He's the former Indian Education Director at the schools.
This month and every month, we honor the precious, strong, enduring cultures and contributions of all Native Americans, and recommit ourselves to fulfilling the full promise of our nation together.
Refreshments after the performance included fry bread, salmon dip, and whipped soap berries. Student Yish Tlak Mia Wiederspoon led the song for whipping the soap berries. Tlingit teacher Juan Tlain, Virginia Oliver, closed out the performance and asked the kids to let elders have first dibs on the fry bread.
We just wanted to show our appreciation and our pride in Wrangell, Native people, and all Native peoples in the world.
I'm Sage Smiley.
An orphaned polar bear cub rescued from Prudhoe Bay last month is receiving care at the Alaska Zoo in Anchorage, where it may become a permanent resident. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says the cub was spotted around Thanksgiving by Hillcorp staff. Dave Gustine, Fish and Wildlife's polar bear program lead, says the nearly year-old bear wouldn't have survived in the wild alone since cubs spend more than 2 years with their mothers. Also, it had become too comfortable around people. A team of biologists traveled north and set up a trap to capture the bear, Gustine says.
We were able to get the trap baited in position, just upwind of the bear, and the bear caught our scent and walked into the trap, which was attached to the truck, and then we dropped the door.
The cub was then sedated, crated, and flown from Dead Horse to Anchorage as cargo on an Alaska Airlines flight. Gustine says the bear weighed about 103 pounds when it was captured versus 120 to 220 pounds for typical cubs of the same age. Otherwise, its behavior is pretty normal. The zoo currently has one female polar bear, Cranberry. Zoo staff would like to keep the newcomer, Gustine says, but are working through an application process with Fish and Wildlife.
I think we're pretty optimistic that the bear will remain here in Anchorage at the Alaska Zoo, but we're not certain at this point.
The new bear is not on public display. Neither Fish and Wildlife Service nor zoo staff have decided what to call it yet, Gustine says.
No names. No names yet. No. You'll talk to the zoo about that.
The Fish and Wildlife Service thanked the zoo for its help housing the cub, as well as Hillcorp for initially reporting the animal, and the Alaska Clean Seas Group for logistical and field support.
KMXT Local News is underwritten in part by
GCI. GCI has adjusted store hours across the state to keep our customers and employees as safe as possible during this time. The most up-to-date store hours are available on GCI.com.
It's going to take a while to unsnarl holiday travel. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino with the Marketplace Minute. Flight cancellations from fierce winter storms eased Sunday, but federal officials warned to expect more delays. About 12,000 U.S. flights were canceled in the days leading up to Christmas. Holiday spending grew at a strong pace, though slower than last year, according to early data from MasterCard. Consumers spent 7.6% more on holiday shopping in 2022, despite high inflation and a slowing economy. And Tesla has extended a closure of its large plant in Shanghai due to widespread COVID illness. The electric car maker has seen consumer demand soften in recent months and doubled the discounts offered on two models in the U.S. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino with the Marketplace Minute.
Marketplace Minute is supported by JLL, a leader in commercial real estate.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon, and welcome to your Island Messenger for Monday, It is the 26th day of December, the year 2022. The sun rose today at 9:54. It will set again promptly at 4:26. That will give us 6 hours and 33 minutes of daylight, a gain of 42 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record low for this date was 3 degrees, set in 1957 and in 2012, and our record high was 47, set in 1990. We're much closer to the latter, with 40 degrees outside under overcast skies. Out at the airport, they are showing northwest winds to 13 miles per hour, 10 miles of visibility, and 93% humidity. They're calling for a 50% chance of rain for the rest of the day today, a 40% chance of rain tonight, and just a slight chance of rain before 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, followed by a slight chance of snow between 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. Cloudy skies today with high near 39, west winds to 15, coming up to 20 tonight. Cloudy skies tonight, too, with a low around 33. But then those cloudy skies are gradually going to become mostly sunny tomorrow, with a high near 34 tomorrow, those west winds continuing and gusting as high as 25. Just a 50% chance of snow Tuesday night after 10 p.m. Snow is likely on Wednesday, followed by rain and snow. Looking at our local tides, we have a high tide coming up. That will happen at 3:39 here this afternoon on the east side and be a 10.4-foot tide, followed by a low tide tonight at 10:29, call it 10:30 tonight, of minus 1.5 feet, a significant minus tide tonight. Your next high tide will be at 5:08 tomorrow morning and be 7.9 feet, followed by a low tide at 10:28 tomorrow morning at 10.2.5 feet. Over on the west side, your next high tide will be at 4:09 this afternoon and be 15.6 feet in Larsen Bay, followed by a low tide at 10:59, call it 11 p.m. That will be a minus 2.3-foot tide on our west side. Our next high tide will be at 5:27 tomorrow morning, be 13.4 feet, followed by a low tide on the west side tomorrow morning at 11:13 a.m. of 3.8 feet. Mariners, here is your forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanat, Kodiak's east side offshore. Gale warning for today, with west winds increasing to 35 knots this afternoon and seas building to 18 feet. For tonight, west 30, seas to 17 feet. And for tomorrow, west 30, seas to 14 feet on our east side. They are calling for south winds to 20 knots and seas to 11 feet for Tuesday night, and east winds to 35 knots, with seas coming up to 15 feet on Wednesday on our east side. Over in the Shelikof Strait, gale warning today with north winds to 35 knots, should come down to northwest 25 this afternoon, seas 14 feet, subsiding to 8 feet this afternoon. For tonight in the Shelikof, west winds to 25 knots and seas to 6 feet. For tomorrow, west 30, diminishing to 20 knots in the afternoon, seas to 6 feet. And for Tuesday night, northwest 20, seas to 2 feet. However, for Wednesday in the Shelikof, they are calling for east winds to 35 knots, seas coming back up to 7 feet. The senior citizens of Kodiak could use some more paper bags. Don't drop them off today, though they are closed today in honor of Christmas. But for the rest of the week, you can drop them off at the senior center anytime before 5 p.m. and starting at 8 a.m. Also, KMXT's new 2023 calendars are in. If you are a current member, stop by and pick up your free calendar. Additional copies can be had for a mere $15. Non-members can also pick up copies for $20 each. They're absolutely beautiful, and we'd like to thank all of the local photographers who submitted this year. A special thanks to those who had their entries picked for the calendar. Happy holidays. Here are some of the meetings coming up in the Kodiak Island Borough. On Wednesday, December 28th, this next Wednesday, the Solid Waste Advisory Board will be having its regular meeting in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 5:15 p.m. Thursday, this next Thursday, December 29th, the Assembly will be having a work session in the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly Chambers. That's happening at 6:30 p.m. And a week from Wednesday, on January 3rd, Actually, I think that's next Tuesday, January 3rd. The Women's Bay Service Area Board will be having their regular meeting in the Women's Bay Fire Hall at 5:30 p.m. And on January 5th at 6:30 p.m., the Assembly will be having their regular meeting in the Borough Assembly Chambers. All meetings are open to the public, and the packets are available at the Kodiak Island Borough website. Please contact the Borough Clerk's Office at 907-486-9310 with any questions. People who would like to call in during the meeting to testify verbally should call locally at 907-486-3231 or at 855-492-9202. Assembly meetings will also be live streamed on the Kodiak Island Borough YouTube channel. Please subscribe to get live stream notifications. The Alaska Marine Safety Education Association is conducting two-day fishing vessel drill conductor class, a two-day fishing vessel drill conductor class in Kodiak on January 4th and 5th. They'll be going from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. over at the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center at 118 Trident Way on Near Island. The cost for the class is absolutely free for the Kodiak Commercial Fishing Fleet, $225 for all others. This class meets the U.S. Coast Guard training requirements for drill conductors on commercial fishing vessels, and you learn a lot. Register online at www.amsea.org, that's AMSEA.org, or call them up at 907-747-3287. The Alaska Youth for Environmental Action is excited to announce that applications are open for the 2023 Civics and Conservation Summit. The Civics and Conservation Summit allows young leaders from communities across the state to bring their concerns directly to the Alaska State Legislature. Learn how to advocate for the issues that matter to your communities and have your voice heard in Juneau. Alaskans aged 13 through 18 from across the state are encouraged to apply, and community members are encouraged to nominate the powerhouse youth leaders in their community. Applications are open now, and support for travel and housing is available. Apply by January 7th. Learn more and apply or nominate a teen by visiting ayea.org. That's ayea.org. The city of Kodiak is looking for people to help fill advisory board and commission positions. Many of them expire on December 31st or are currently vacant. That includes on the Building Code Board of Appeals. They're looking for two members who have knowledge pertaining to building construction. One member may be selected from the community at large and one from inside the city limits. The Historic Preservation Commission is also looking for commissioners, one who resides in the city and has demonstrated interest in or knowledge of historic preservation, history, anthropology, and or architecture. That term ends December 31st, 2024. They're also looking for a historic preservation commissioner who may reside outside the city, filling the professional designated position of anthropologist as required by the National Park Service regulations for a term ending December 31st, 2025. The Parks and Recreation Advisory Board is also looking for members, including an ex officio United States Coast Guard position and an ex officio student position. So if you're interested in parks and recreation, and who isn't? And also the Personnel Board is looking for residents who reside within the city limits. Applications are available at the City Clerk's Office, which is in the Borough Building downtown, or you can just go to the city's website to find applications there. Please submit them to the city clerk by January 4th if you can. Call the city clerk at 486-8636 for more information. And crabbers, the Kodiak Coast Guard Marine Safety Detachment reminds you to consider the stability of your vessel when loading crab and cod pots. Stacking the pots changes the center of gravity, and that affects the stability, especially in icing conditions. Personnel from the Coast Guard Safety Office in Kodiak will be walking the docks providing voluntary safety compliance checks with an emphasis on stability. You can also contact them at 907-486-5918 or stop by their office at Subway Building downtown if you have any questions or would like to schedule an inspection.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.